Tonight, without further ado, I'm going to call upon our brother Dines to come and preach to us. It's a pleasure to have you with us, and I trust that the Lord will enable you to bring the word. And don't preach too well, because I don't want to be out of a job by the end of the day. But I know he'll be faithful to the word, and you'll enjoy him. He's a preacher that speaks from the heart to the heart, and that's the kind of preaching that we need these days. So feel free, and God bless you.
Thank you. For me this morning, it is a joy to be with you here in Oulton Broad. I know last year we came for the first time to the east of England, and you can see obviously we enjoyed it so much we've come back this year again. We also enjoy the fellowship with the Paisley family, and it's wonderful to renew fellowship with them. We do remember them in the Lord's witness, and we are praying for you as a congregation as well, that the Lord this year will do great things for you. The Holy Spirit will come. The Holy Spirit will move. And the Lord will draw many into the kingdom of His dear Son. So it is a joy to be with you. And I would ask, please, if you would turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew and the chapter 23. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23. And we'll be reading from the verse 1 through to the verse 12. Matthew chapter 23, and the verse 1 through to the verse 12. Let us hear the word of the Lord this morning to our hearts. Matthew chapter 23, and the verse 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Or therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries, and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uttermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon earth, for one is your father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. Amen. May the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from his word. We'll seek the Lord, and let's pray that the Lord will come and the Lord will speak to us. We have a great need. We need to hear our beloved speak. Let's now ask the Lord that he will come and minister his word to our hearts. We are very thankful, Lord, for the great privilege that has been ours this morning to gather in thy name, to come that we might praise thee. It is good to give thanks unto the Lord and to glorify His name. And we do rejoice in all the marvellous things that Thou hast done for Thy elect. We thank Thee once again for the gift of Thy Son. We praise Thee for how that we are purchased with a tremendous price. Lord, we have much to give thanks to Thee for, not only our salvation, but every day Thou doth load us with so many benefits. And now we thank Thee for this assembly of people, and on this Thy day, this special day of the week, that we are met here to hear Thy word. Lord, I pray that each and every heart will be ready to hear what the Lord shall say to our souls. I am asking Thee, Lord, for power. I rejoice that the Holy Spirit is given to those who ask, to those who obey. And I thank Thee for this gift. I rejoice that Thou art able to come and to be with my mouth and that the word of the Lord shall run, that it will have free course, and that thy name shall be glorified. Lord, may we know that liberty of the Spirit, and we ask that we will once again sit at thy feet and learn of thee. And as we leave this place, we will be constrained to say, it was good for us to be in the house of the Lord, for we met with thee. That place was indeed the tabernacle of the Most High. We ask thee to lead us on now with thyself. We ask all of these things, Heavenly Father, in the Saviour's name. Amen. Here in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 23, the evangelist is recording for us the final public address of the Lord during His earthly ministry. We will see that it is a word of condemnation to the Pharisees and to the scribes because of their hypocrisy. Now this sect in Israel was the largest of all religious groups. In the day of our Lord, they numbered 6,000. And then they had many other disciples as well. Now the Lord here, He rebukes them because He indicates that they had neglected the weightier matters of the law. And they had rather kept the lesser matters of the law. I direct you to the verse 23. Verse 23, the Lord said, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone." So the Lord is saying to them here that ye have been so particular in the observance of the tithe. And the law did teach the necessity of the giving of a tithe, a tenth part. It was to be given to the Lord's sanctuary for the support of the Levites and the priests. And that meant that a tenth of their cattle was to be given to the Lord's house. And on top of that, they were to give the fruit of the earth. So when they brought in their harvest, they were to give the likes of their wine. They were to give as well their wheat. A tenth had to be brought to the Lord's house to support those that ministered in the house of the Lord. Remember, they had no fields, these Levites. The Lord was their inheritance, and the Lord appointed this means for their support, the giving of the people, the giving of these tithes. But these Pharisees went beyond the law, because they also emphasized, not only should you tithe the fruit of the earth, but also the herb. And the Lord makes mention of them here in that verse 23. He speaks of mint, anise, and cumin. Those that they would have bought, the Jewish people in the marketplace, those perhaps that they had grown in their own gardens, these men came to the people and put these great burdens upon them. And they said to the people, "Ye ought to tithe of your herbs." But the Lord is saying to them, the lesser matters of the law ye are so particular in, and ye even go beyond that. But the Lord is saying, you have not kept the weightier matters of the law. And what are these things that the Lord identifies? He speaks here of duties that they did not do toward their fellow man. He speaks of judgment and mercy. And judgment is speaking of justice, doing that which is right toward your neighbor. How that we need to render unto them what is their due. And the Lord is saying, that man who has worked in your field, at the end of the day, he is to be rewarded. Justice, judgment needs to be done. For if not, you do that man injury. But then the Lord also emphasized here mercy. What is mercy? But it's showing pity. It's showing compassion. You know, it's possible to become so legalistic in one's religion that one forgets about the need for judgment and mercy. To show pity, to show compassion on the poor and the needy and the destitute. Remember the parable of the Good Samaritan? It was the Levite and the priest that passed by, but it was a stranger to the man who ministered to him, had compassion on him, and showed pity to him. And this is the teaching of God's word, that if a person is truly a disciple of Christ, they will have the heart of Christ. They will show pity, mercy, and compassion. But then the Lord also emphasizes here duties toward the Lord. You will see in that verse 23, he speaks about faith. He speaks about the need for trust in the Lord. Remember the psalmist. He speaks about trust in the Lord at all times. And that's what we need. We need that confidence in the Lord, that trusting in Him, just leaning upon Him in every situation, and knowing that He will take care of me. For He loves me, and He will take care of me. And what's more, in the Gospel of Luke, and in the chapter 11 and the verse 42, Luke records another duty toward the Lord that Matthew Levi doesn't mention. What is that duty? In Luke 11 verse 42, it is the love of God. You see, these are the weightier matters of the law. But can I ask, is your faith in God? Do you love the Lord? Do you love Him with all your heart? For this is the greatest commandment, to love the Lord with all of your heart. But notice as well, not only did the Lord criticize these Pharisees, hypocrites, because they neglected the weightier matters of the law, but He also criticized them because they sought prominent places and prominent titles. Now that was indicated there in those opening 12 verses that I read to you. You will see from the verse 8, it speaks here of highest titles. What are these titles that the Lord speaks about? Rabbi, that is that title, Master. And these Pharisees not only loved the highest seats, they not only at the feast loved the highest place and in the synagogue, but they were so proud that they loved the highest title, Rabbi. They loved to hear others, their fellow men, call them by this name. And the Lord reproves them for that. He is saying, you're so proud, you seek after these highest places and after these highest titles. And the Lord is saying to His disciples, be ye not like unto them. Do not be like unto them. Do not imitate them. Do not be a lord over the Lord's heritage. Do not be like unto them. Rather, the Lord is saying, in my estimation, all my disciples, they are equal, for they are all brethren. You notice what He says there in verse 8? All ye are brethren. So the Lord reminds them that there is one who is their Lord and Master, and that is Jesus Christ Himself. He mentions that in the verse 10 and also in that verse 8. For one is your Master, even Christ. And this is what we want to consider this morning. We want to consider the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Notice first of all that He is to be Lord solely. He is to be Lord solely. And we're going to look at some of the words that are used in the scripture that speaks about Lord Master. And we're going to learn wonderful things concerning Christ from these words. And I'm thinking now of a Hebrew word which is the word Adonai, and also in the New Testament in the Greek, the word Kyrios, which is that word for Lord. Let me show to you two verses where this title is given to Christ. The first one in the Old Testament is in Deuteronomy chapter 9 and the verse 26. Deuteronomy chapter 9 and the verse 26. Here Moses is speaking, and he is speaking, and this is what he says: I prayed therefore unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not thy people and thine inheritance which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness. And Moses here uses certain titles in Deuteronomy chapter 9 and the verse 26. The first title that he uses is in the capitals, and it's Jehovah. It's referring to the unchanging one. But you read on down, and he says, O Lord God, capital L, small O-R-D. And this is this word, Adonai. And in the New Testament, let me give you the reference, and then we'll show what the word means. In the New Testament, in Matthew 4, verse 10, when the Lord was tempted by Satan, this is what the Lord said, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The word, Thy Lord, Thy God, is used there. Now these two words, in the Old and in the New Testament, this word Lord means owner. It is referring to the one who possesses us. And in regard to the Lord being our creator, maker, he is the one who owns us. We are his workmanship. He is our creator. He is our maker. And in that sense, he is the Lord of all men. For he is our maker and our creator. We are his workmanship. But there is a special sense in which every child of God, we can say, he is my owner. He possesses me. Through that wonderful work of the redemption of Christ, he is my owner. For I am not my own. I am bought with a price. I am to glorify him. 1 Corinthians 6 and the verse 19 and 20. So I want you to think of that for a moment, beloved. In the service this morning, we call him Lord and Master. And so he is. For he is our owner. Not only through creation, but through that great work of redemption. Through that covenant of grace. He is my Lord. He has purchased me, not with silver or gold, but he has purchased me with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. May we always remember that. May we remember that we are a redeemed people. John Newton, his favorite text, Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 15, Thou shalt remember thou wast a bondman, but the Lord thy God redeemed thee. May we not forget what he has done for us. This great work of salvation on our behalf. Because when we remember what he has done, it will also remind us that because he is our Lord and our owner, we are to serve him. Now the Lord also here revealed that he is Lord alone. He is Lord solely. Look again at that verse 10 and how it's rendered. It says here, One is your master, even Christ. John Calvin, this is what he said. It follows that this title cannot be transferred to men without damaging Christ himself. There is one who is Lord, Lord of all, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And this title cannot be transferred to any other man. And as Calvin says, if it is transferred to any other man and given to any other man, it is to the damage of the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, we stand where the Scottish Covenanters stood. For the Scottish Covenanters, they believed that the Lord Jesus Christ had no other equal in the church. In the true church, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The King was no equal. When I think of the King of England and of Scotland, in their day, when people sought to say that the King of England and Scotland is the King of the church, they said, not so. There is only one head of the church, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So where they stood, we stand this morning. We affirm it. He is Lord of all. He has no equal. And I wonder in your heart, is he Lord of all? Is he the one who holds absolute sway over your being, over your heart? Or may you have to confess this morning, there are times when my heart is divided. There are occasions when my heart has been faulty. There have been those seasons when I have loved the world and the things of this world. I have loved mammon. Remember the Lord said in Matthew 6 and in the verse 20 and 21, no man can serve two masters. He will either love the one and hate the other. You cannot serve two masters. So brethren and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, give your heart, your loyalties to the Lord Jesus Christ, your allegiance to Him, for He is King of your life. Not only by creation, but thank the Lord, by the redemption that we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. When we say He is Lord and Master, we say well. You remember in the upper room, John chapter 13 records the occasion, and the Lord, He ministered to His disciples as a servant. For when He took the basin of water and the towel, and He washed their feet, the Lord said, I have set thee an example to follow. He was ministering to others, and yet on that occasion He said to them, and let me turn it up here, in John chapter 13, verse 13, this is what He said to His disciples, ye call me Master and Lord, here it is, and ye say well, for so I am. Let us say well, let us affirm it, that He is Lord and He is Master. And I trust this year in your life, men and women will see that He is Lord of your life. Next thing I want you to notice is not only that He is to be Lord solely, but He is to be loved supremely. He is to be loved supremely. There is another word that is rendered Lord in the Scriptures, and it is the word Adon. Adon. And this word you will find in Exodus chapter 21. It's a fascinating chapter. And those opening verses, in Exodus chapter 21, it is speaking about the slave, the bondman. And it's speaking about his relationship to his master. And here's something that happened in the year of Jubilee, when that servant had an opportunity to go out free. In the law that was given to Israel in the year of the Jubilee, the servant could leave that master and go out as a free man. But notice, here is a servant, and he loves his master supremely. And this is what he is affirming in Exodus 21 verse 5. I love my master. I will not go out free. And because he loved his master supremely, he would serve him forever. He would serve him to the very end. And his ear was borne through with and all. So he called him master because he loved him supremely for what he had done for him. So that slave, who may have been born in that man's home, this slave who may have been bought from the marketplace, this slave who was brought up in this man's home, he was captivated through the love, the goodness and the kindness of his master. When that opportunity came, he said, I am going to renounce my right of freedom. I will not go out free. I will serve thee forever. I will serve thee to death. And that's what we affirm to the one that we call master. We express to him our love. We express to him our affection for all that he has done for us. May that always motivate our service for him. It is love that needs to motivate our hearts. Love to Christ. You remember how that Paul, writing to the church of Corinth, said, the love of Christ constraineth us. He is saying, his love takes hold of us. And oh, this year, in everything that we put our hand to, everything that we do for our Lord, that it might be motivated, it might be constrained by love to him. We read that during the ministry of the Lord, there were certain women from Galilee who ministered unto him. And if we consider their ministry for a moment, we will see that this ministry that they daily give to Christ was motivated by love in their hearts for him. They were with him, faithfully ministering, steadfastly ministering throughout his public ministry. I am speaking here of those who are mentioned in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, if you turn over just a few chapters toward the end of the Gospel of Matthew, and the verse 55 and 56, it says, many women were there beholding afar off. This is at the cross at Calvary, which followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering unto him, among which was Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joas, and the mother of Zebedee's children. Women, here in Matthew chapter 27, verse 55, and they're at the cross, ministering unto him, and they're ministering because they love him. They loved him in Galilee during those times of popularity in his ministry. They loved him in the time of his rejection, and that was here at Jerusalem and in Judea. You see, they loved him faithfully, steadfastly, right to the very end. What an example they are to us, beloved. Because when we think of these women, the Lord's disciples, apart from John the Beloved, they had forsaken him. They were not at the cross. But we read here that these women who minister to him in Galilee, they are with him right to the very end. And they're at the cross. They're beholding this scene afar off. And it's John who records of how that they aged through the crowd. You see, the Roman soldiers had placed these women afar off. But the women, they edge through the crowds and they come right to the shadow of the cross. We read of that in John 19 and the verse 25. They stood at the cross. Do you see how that these women, it was their love, their devotion to Him, that enabled them to be faithful in their ministry to Him in those good times and also in those hard times. In the day of His rejection, they call Him Lord and Master because their heart is captivated by this love for Him. Spurgeon said, and rightly so, love will dare anything. And so it will. Love will dare anything for the Lord Jesus Christ. These ladies loved the Lord, for He had done great things for them. Mary Magdalene, out of whom He cast seven devils. You think of how oppressed she was before the Lord saved her, delivered her from satanic oppression. We read of many others here too in this portion of Scripture. And Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's servant, she was also there at the cross, healed of her infirmities. You see, each of these women, the Lord had done marvelous things for them. And that's why they were steadfast in ministering to Him. And here at the cross they stood. They called Him Lord. They called Him Master. And it was because of love. When I think of how they ministered to Him as well, you'll read of that in Luke chapter 8 and the verse 3. That word minister to Him of their substance means they minister to Him of their goods. And that's how we demonstrate our love, isn't it? It is not only through being steadfast in the ministry to Him, but it's also through this ministry of giving Him our substance. You demonstrate your love. Has the Lord prospered you? Has the Lord blessed you materially? From your wealth, your riches, give unto Him for the glory of His name and for the extension of His kingdom. Give of your wealth, tithe it to the Lord. You remember how that the widow, and the Lord took note of her in the temple, when she came and she put in of her tithing. In Mark chapter 12, verse 44, it says, that she give off her living. She needed it in order that she might be able to live. But she even gave off her living, sacrificial giving unto the Lord. It was an indication of how much she loved Him. And that's how we ought to give. King David said, I will not give to the Lord that which has cost me nothing. There must be cost. There must be sacrifice surely in it. Mary of Bethany, when she came to the Lord, and the incident is recorded there in Matthew chapter 26, when she came to the Lord, you will see from that verse 13 that she gave to the Lord that which cost her much. For when she came here to the house of Simon the leper, in Bethany, she came that she might anoint the Lord's body for burial. And she brought the ointment, precious ointment, this ointment that was worth a year's salary. Elsewhere in the Gospels, it was worth 300 pence. A penny a day, 300 pennies, it's almost a year's salary. But she came to minister to Him. Mary, in Bethany, she ministered at the Lord's feet. She applied that ointment to His head in order that she might anoint Him for burial. Why did she do it? Because she loved Him. She loved Him. She gave to Him sacrificially. She gave much to Him. Do you know her service was criticized? And her service was criticized even by a disciple of the Lord, Judas. He was the one who said, this could have been sold and given to the poor. And he implied that her service was a waste. Why did she do this? She has gone to extreme. She's gone too far. She should not have done this. But the Lord said, let her alone. She has wrought a good work of me. She has ministered unto me for my burial. And although she was criticized by others, she was most importantly commended by the Lord. The Lord said, this thing will be a memorial. It will be remembered. It will not be forgotten. Even through all the ages, the Holy Spirit has recorded it in this word, so that we might see her wonderful example. Here is Mary, and she called him Lord, and she gives sacrificially unto him. May we do so like the slave in Exodus chapter 21. I love my master. I will not go I free. I'm going to serve him. I'm going to minister unto him. Everything I put my hand to, I do it for his glory. I do it to magnify him, for he is worthy of my praise. He has done much for me, whereof I am glad. Lord, take my life. Let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. One last thing I want you to notice, and it is this. He leads us as a shepherd. This word, Lord, it does speak of him as our good shepherd. Come with me to the garden tomb. And at the garden tomb, remember that first Lord's Day, resurrection morning, these same women, they had left the city of Jerusalem early in the morning while it was yet dark. And they had come forth with spices to this tomb. This tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, that they might anoint Jesus' body with these spices. When they came, the stone is rolled away. And the angels proclaim the wonderful hope that we have in Christ. He is risen. Why seek ye the living among the dead? The woman looked into the tomb and it was empty. And it was Mary who lingered on. You remember how that she supposed that a man in the garden, he was the gardener. And yet when he called her by name Mary, her response was this. It's recorded there in John chapter 20, verse 16. She said, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Here she called this man Lord. She knew it was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was alive. He had shown himself to her. Now this word in the Greek, Rabboni, means teacher. Teacher, instructor. We call him Lord and we say well, because he is our teacher. And when we think of the role of a shepherd, he is not only to be an example unto his flock, to lead his flock, but he is also to teach and to instruct his flock. And the Lord Jesus led his people. He went before them. They followed in his footsteps. But he was also their teacher. He spake with authority and he sought to instruct them in the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And she is saying, thou art my teacher. Thou art my instructor. Thou art my guide through life. Now I want you to apply that to our lives. We have one and he is Lord, he is Master. And we say well. For, you see, throughout our life, we have known the Lord to guide us. We have known the Lord through his word and through the ministry of others. In a time when we needed to know the good and the perfect will of the Lord has come and the Lord has shown to us the way. He has said, this is the way, walk ye in it. So how imperative it is for you and me, beloved, every day to sit at his feet and to desire that better part, that better portion that cannot be taken away from us. There are many cumbered about with much caring. There's much to do. I must do this and that and the other thing. So many things pressing in upon us. But let us always remember the need to sit at Jesus' feet. The need to open up the Word and to meditate upon it. To ponder over these precepts. For our shepherd must speak. If we belong to his flock and we know him, we will be listening for his voice. And we will be saying every day, Master, speak, thy servant heareth. I am listening for thy word. I want thee to speak. I want to hear that word in season to my heart. We need the Lord to speak because he needs to show us the way to go. We need to follow in his footsteps. The sheep hear his voice and they follow. They follow in his way. John chapter 10 and the verse 4. Listen, brethren and sisters. This readiness to hear his voice, it is not easily acquired. It is not easily acquired. But we do need to acquire that receptive ear to the voice of our beloved. We need that ear. Because if we do not have that ear, many a sublime lesson, many a heavenly whisper, we will lose on life's journey. I want to hear the Lord speak. I want to hear that heavenly whisper. I want to receive that sublime lesson that he would give to me. So I would have to say, Lord, give to me an attentive heart. Give to me a receptive ear, so that as I read the scripture, that I am listening, that my heart is ready to hear what thou shalt say to me. Don't we thank the Lord that what he teaches us, we do not forget. This is the best teaching, to sit at his feet and to learn of him. As Mary of Bethany sat at his feet, she took time at his feet. She learned of how that he was going to die. She was the one who ministered. She did not forget what she was taught. And I trust that morning and evening we will sit at his feet. That we will come aside. So remember that the text is very relevant, isn't it? Here in Matthew chapter 23. And at verse 10, it says here, for one is your master, even Christ. Remember, there is one. And he is your master. He is your Lord. He is Lord of his people. He is Lord solely. He is to be king of my life. That's what we must crown him every day. We must swear allegiance to him. Our loyalties are to him and to his crown rights. Let's not have a divided, a faulty heart. Let's not serve two masters. Let us not serve mammon and God. But let us say, Jesus only. The Lord only for me. Every day of my life, I want to go through with God. I want to pay my vows. My all on the altar lay. And then please love him supremely. Remember what he has done for you. So oft we forget. But Lord, bring it scenes before me. Bring me to the shadow of the cross. Help me to remember what a sacrifice that was when the Lord Jesus gave his perfect body, bruised and broken on that old rugged cross, to put away all my sins forever and give me peace with God through the blood of his cross. Surely that love, so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. I come and I say, I love thee supremely. I want to love thee when it would appear that many are seeking to follow after thee. But even in the days of thy rejection, and when the Lord is rejected, let us stand near the cross. Let us still seek to minister unto him. And then I trust as well, he'll lead us as the shepherd. We say, Thou art Lord. We want to hear thy voice. It is a voice of many waters. Lord, we want to hear thee speak. Let's take time every day to turn aside, to get alone, to enter into the solitary place. Let us wait upon him and around his word. Let us seek to give the Lord the opportunity to speak to us, to guide us, to direct us, to show to us the way to go. What he teach we will not forget. I trust that the Lord will bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Amen.